From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Here's where we are with this show right now. I tried for 4.5 years, Bob and Jeff. It's now Bob. I control everything, pal.
Jeff Lutz.
Like the harsh realities of life are slapping you in the face right now, and I don't think you can handle it.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are we still on?
Stand by for action.
We are still on. It's the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host, Max Power. Producing engineering, 869-1240. Nice, cool, cloudy day. You've enjoyed it. You've certainly enjoyed it.
I have.
You like the clouds. You like the overcast.
Usually, but I mean, I'm working tonight. I'm out at the wind surge game. I want it to be sunny. I don't want there to be a threat of rain. I like having the window open. I don't want any of that stuff.
Well, the window open will be great. It's cooler.
Yeah, I guess.
No threat of rain. We're past the rain.
Well, then why don't
is there more rain coming?
I don't know. Why don't we get the clouds moving out of
here? Well, I like this.
I don't mind it. Everyone says every time it rains, well, we need it, and we do need the rain.
Only a 15% chance of rain this evening, so we'll see. But cooler temperatures, much needed, and I enjoy the rain.
How come you didn't go to the game the other night when you said you were going to?
I don't know.
You're not going tonight, obviously. This was going to be Quinn Matthews.
Yeah, I was
going
to go tonight, and Quinn Matthews got called up, Cardinals prize left-handed pitching prospect.
Did you know he was a prize prospect going into this year?
No, he's exploded. He's one of those pleasant surprises. Occasionally you get somebody like this. Out of Stanford, had a good college career, pitched well in a few innings last year, but you could never bank on this, right? I mean, he's now a top 100 prospect.
He's gone from Class A to Triple A all in the same season, which is
and
pretty,
so
pretty
you
rare.
Have, you have Quinn Matthews and you have Tank Hentz, and you can imagine at least trying to develop a little better rotation.
I'm not sure about Tank still. I'm just not quite there with Tank.
Good stuff. What do you get? 11 whiffs, I read the other night.
Yeah, he's close, but I don't think he's quite
there. That's unusual. That doesn't happen that often.
Well, so, he does have good stuff.
I'm intrigued by him.
But he threw a first pitch fastball at 87, and we felt like that was on purpose, but we didn't understand why.
Was his fastball clocked at later?
No, I'm not saying he was hurt. Like I said, he's doing it on purpose for some reason because it wasn't a changeup.
It's a changeup.
It wasn't a changeup. It's changeups in the low 80s.
Well, it's a mid changeup.
I think it was a four seamer, 87.
Well, he took a little off
and
of it,
and he got up to 95 once.
I pitched, I'd love to take a little off
on the first pitch of the game.
Sure.
It was strange.
They were looking for mid-80s, approaching 90, and I'm going to throw something up there about 78.
What, did they know they were facing you?
Yeah, I opened the door for you, and of course you kicked me right in the face. Why do you do that?
Because you, come on, any even attempt at humor like you were throwing 90 or even approaching it is tragic.
I would like to know what I was clocked at. We didn't have clocks when I played.
You didn't go throw against a horse or something?
I came in relief against Arkansas City once, like in the last inning to close the game. And I really let it all. I didn't throw anything other than fastballs. And I tried to throw as hard as I could. I'd love to know what I was throwing that particular.
76, 77.
How do you know?
Probably. I don't know, because that's about probably how hard you threw. Maybe 80.
I think I could have gotten to 80, 82.
Possible. I think I threw 80 once.
Oh, please.
Not one of those guess your speed things.
Oh, those things
now
aren't accurate.
Now I can't even hit 50.
Those things aren't accurate.
Like, how do you throw, like, Yadier Molina or whoever when they pitch and they're just lobbing it up there? It's always like 50. How? How do you lob it at 50 when I'm out here throwing my arm out?
I can throw 50 now.
No, you can't.
Well, I'll bet you any amount of money.
Could you throw 60?
I'd be right there.
I don't know.
Let me get loose for a little bit. I can't
remember if I hit 60 or 70. It had to be 60, right? What if it was 70?
You check out this right arm. It's still got some juice.
I guess. Rich Hill's still throwing in the 80s, I guess.
Well, he's 44 years old.
Well, but once it goes, it goes.
Well, you went many years ago.
At 12.
Yeah, just in ridiculous.
Told the story.
So we had football last night. Colorado holds on. I read where Travis Hunter, who might win the Heisman, well, I hope they're good enough to where he has a shot at it.
I don't even know if they have to be, if he's playing both sides and making an impact.
How many plays he sat out last night?
12.
Two.
It's crazy.
Can you imagine playing a college football game against the best? North Dakota State's no gimme either.
They've got
good players up and down. And you're Travis Hunter, wide receiver, cornerback, and you're sitting out two plays. You're running on every play.
Well, he might
be. How in the world that guy?
He might be the best player in the country at two different positions. He's probably already the best defensive back. He might be the best receiver.
But I'm
not going to take him number one.
But how in the world do you have the stamina and the conditioning to do that?
One in a million. Few do, but sometimes somebody like that comes along and they can do it.
I don't know of anybody like that that's come along.
There's never been a two-way college football player before?
To sit out only two plays in a game? I'll bet you Deion didn't do that, or the other people who... I'll bet you Bo. Did Bo play both ways?
Of course not.
Who played both ways?
Well, we're going to find out.
Didn't Deion play both ways at times?
In the NFL, he did. Charles Woodson did, but he wasn't much of a receiver. Until I guess maybe the end of his career.
I'm going to tell Max something because we've had this. Whatever computer is making that noise probably needs to get the volume turned down, Max, because I'm hearing it through my headset, and I presume it's going out over the air. So Max will handle that, but this is the second day in a row. I didn't say anything yesterday.
What's the computer?
You know that sound when...
The internet firing up? AOL? No, I don't.
You know that sound?
Uh-uh.
Let me do it one more time for you.
It sounds like a dog or something.
Sounds like a door. You know what
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, you know.
No, I don't.
You've heard it.
This is you.
Well, if you put your headset on, you could contribute to the show.
Do it again, Max.
No, don't do
it
again.
Turn it up to full volume so I can hear it.
Just, you know, one of those things. We'll get it corrected.
We will.
Duda got the North Dakota State game, Colorado game, right. He picked North Dakota State inside the 9.5, and they made it happen late.
Right.
It was 31-20. And they scored late. Then they went for two, didn't make it. So 31-26, the final. We all got KU right, except for Duda.
Again.
But barely.
There's no barely.
And
they covered.
And they won by 45.
Right.
That was not a gimme.
It wasn't, but they covered. And probably covered on purpose, to be honest. Win by 45 when it's a 44.5 point spread.
Yeah, they were up 48-0. Lyndon Wood kicked a field goal to make it 48-3.
Yeah, I thought I predicted 51-0, so I was very close.
Well, anybody could have been close.
I didn't hear a prediction coming out
predict.
Of your mouth.
I don't predict.
You don't predict. Okay.
What I do is,
I'm going to remember that.
What I do is tell you mileage within 80 miles.
Or 1,000 sometimes.
Nah.
Depending on the cities.
You know,
Billings really, really messed you up.
Nah, I didn't quite know where Billings was. Because it's not a major city. I know where all the major
Montana
cities.
Only has three major cities.
Right, and I don't know
and
where the
Billings is.
There's no major city in Montana.
Yeah, Billings.
There's no hub. There's no major city. No city in Montana that has a population of 100,000.
That's great. We're going to give you the three quote-unquote major cities.
Helena, Billings, Butte.
No, I would say Bozeman.
Then Bozeman. There's
four. We'll go the three Bs. It's Helena.
Helena.
No, it's
give
not.
Me the population of those four.
I'm asking you. What do you think the population of Helena is?
What are the four again? You said Butte doesn't belong.
Yeah, Helena.
I disagree with you.
Helena, Bozeman, Billings.
Helena's population.
Helena would be.
Helena. 45,000.
33.
Okay.
Bozeman. Remember, that's where Montana State
right.
is.
50,000.
I doubt it. Oh, 56,000.
There you go.
Billings,
60,000.
Let's find out here. This is good radio, right?
It's great radio.
119,000.
Ooh, that's a big town.
That's kind of a...
And then Butte.
Butte. No one lives in Butte.
What's the population of Butte?
It is 35,000.
All right, it's about the same town, same size as... What is it? Helena.
What's a city in Kansas that has
I don't
want to
do that
35,000
anymore. I'm tired of that.
People? Hayes have about 35,000.
A city in Kansas with 35,000 people.
Hayes?
No, it's got a few more. Emporia.
Hayes only has 21,000.
Oh, really? Well, yes. It's shrunk. Anyway, nobody cares. Royals last night lose at Houston. Not surprising. That was set up as a loss. That's a tough one.
The bullpen again.
Well, Ursa got hurt. Pasquantino got hurt. They got hurt on the same play. You heard any update on them today?
I don't think so.
Well, why not?
I just don't think that I have.
Well, I
heard an update on Cleveland Guardians' former top prospect. Now their number two prospect, Chase DeLauder, who's back on the injured list with a hamstring strain after destroying AAA.
And nobody cares about that because he's not a major league player.
That's the update I've heard. Lorenzen's on the DL or the IL.
Oh, man. Vinny Pasquantino. This
broke
was supposed to be quiet.
6 to 8 weeks.
Let me talk.
I remember.
Let me talk.
But I remember the update I heard.
Don't interrupt me.
Why?
Because.
You asked me if I had heard an update, and I now remembered that I had.
Vinny Pasquantino will miss significant time with a broken thumb, according to our friend Jalen Thompson. Of the Kansas City Star. That's not good.
Not good for them.
Lucas Erceg, no update yet.
We'll see.
He could return Pasquantino 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, is that what I said? That's cool.
That doesn't... Shut up.
What is your problem?
I mean, really.
Something's up with you today.
6 to 8 weeks, so he'll be lucky to get back. Let's see. The playoffs begin early October. He could be back for the championship series.
Yeah, he could be back for the Royals heading home. He'll be there to pick up his bag and take it to Arizona.
Why do you say it like that?
Because that's how I want to feel, and that's how I feel, and that's what I want to happen.
You know what? They'll still finish ahead of the Guardians.
Okay.
Even without Pasquantino.
Maybe they will.
In their lineup.
I doubt it, but maybe.
No, they will. They
we'll
will.
See.
And they'll sweep the series from you.
No, they got to win Monday when I'm there.
In Kansas City. They never win when you go.
It's a three-game series. If we're up 4.5,
who
cares?
Why are you going?
I told you why I was going. It's a family outing.
Who all's going? Just you, your wife, and your daughter?
No, my stepdad and his two brothers.
Is your wife going?
No, my wife's in Branson.
Well, it seems utterly ridiculous that you would go. because there's no win. You know what?
Bybee's pitching. They got a shot.
You know you're not going to win.
Bybee's pitching. He's our best pitcher, so they might win.
But you know.
No, I don't.
What do you think the record of the Guardians in Kansas City is in the games you've seen?
Probably 3-11 or something like that.
Well, wouldn't you say that fate's working against
you? 2-12. Yeah, the past. But we don't want to take the past as gospel. Past results do not indicate future results.
Just... Here's what we have for you today on our radio show. Kevin Lockett, one of the all-time greats at Kansas State. He's going into their Sports Hall of Fame, and he will join the show at 2:25 today. At 2:45, Andale football coach Dylan Schmidt will get his thoughts on the always good Andale Indians. And at 3:25, Joanna Chadwick, who officially becomes a regular Friday contributor to this show.
Well, that's exciting.
Next week, although she's been one for 27 years.
She getting paid?
Not by me.
Me neither.
She's representing Vite Magazine. I don't pay anybody to come on this show.
Well.
What?
That's not completely true.
What do you mean?
Mark Mangino.
I gave him a little, but.
How much?
Don't worry about it.
$500 a week?
It's none of your business.
All right.
I handled it. It was a business decision.
Fine. Do you think we got the most out of that business decision?
I think Mark was fantastic.
He was good.
I enjoyed him.
I don't want people to ask for money when they come on the radio. I don't want that. I mean, you're not going to get more than us, and we don't get that much.
Somebody is.
Tito Santana wanted money. That broke my heart, because that was such a good get.
Who cares about Tito Santana?
It was around WrestleMania time, and he was in the first WrestleMania match. You know how cool that would have been to have him on the radio?
I guess. Okay. That's all I can give you.
These wrestlers,
I guess that would have been cool.
These wrestlers, man, they take themselves so seriously because they go around to these conventions all the time and they charge money for autographs and pictures. And you can't just give of my time. I'm too good for that. Please pay me to come on for 10 minutes.
It'd be fine. It's nothing I would get.
You think
too
I should
excited.
Have paid him?
No, absolutely not. No, there's no value to our show. In having a washed-up wrestler.
He's not washed up. He's a teacher.
Well, I'm sure he's a fine human being, but
He had a really good career. He's an Intercontinental Champion. I believe he might have been a tag champion with Rick Martel.
He's probably 70 years old by now.
He's up there.
But there's no need to get Tito Santana on the show.
I just think it would have been fun.
Well, keep trying. Was he friendly?
It's just text, and he's like, "I have a fee."
What's the fee?
I didn't ask.
Well, you should have asked.
I should have. Next time, I will. He's 71.
Oh, there you go again.
What?
Me. Getting close.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's not hard to do that math. All those guys.
You didn't do it.
All those guys from the 80s are around 70 now.
You didn't do it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay, I didn't throw out a guess at all.
Cardinals open.
I don't predict.
Cardinals play at Yankee Stadium tonight. Now, that's always cool. Don't get that many opportunities, the Cardinals, to play at Yankee Stadium. And how many home runs combined will Judge and Soto hit in this series?
Probably 4 or 5. It just takes a pop-up to right field.
I hope we hit a few.
And I commend Judge. I applaud him. Hey, if you're going to give me a short porch to right field, I'm going to take it that way, and I'm going to hit a lot of home runs. I'm sure he could hit home runs however he wanted, but if you're going to make it easy on him, sure, I'll take it.
Well, I hope some of our guys hit home runs.
Do you think they will?
I don't know.
It's tough. You don't have a lot of true power hitters.
Well, we have Goldschmidt, but he's a little diminished, although he's gotten hot. He takes the ball to right quite often.
You know what it means that he's getting hot, right? That you're somehow going to want to bring him back next year.
I don't think so. He's getting kind of hot. It's not like he's tearing down the league. Okay.
Yeah, but these front office people, I see it with my team all the time. If they give him an inch, they'll take a mile. Oh, he's getting hot. He's still got something. Let's bring him back.
Well, if he has something, then you talk to him and you say, we'll give you a one-year deal for $12 million.
Man, you don't
if
want...
If you beat that on the market, go for it.
You don't want him clogging up first base next year?
Nah, listen. You do what you got to do. What if he would come back next year and hit 280 with 25 homers? And you
seems
get him
unlikely.
For $12 million. Well, he's got 20 homers this year.
Is he hitting 280?
240. But he was hitting 210.
Maybe he's got something left.
You do
I don't
what
know.
You got to do. I don't know either. I don't have to make these decisions.
20 home runs isn't nothing. I didn't know he had that many.
That's too bad about Pasquantino. I know you don't care.
It's not that
You're
I don't
probably
care.
Reveling in it to some degree. But it's always tough when a team like the Royals gets in position like this out of nowhere and loses a guy like that. I mean, that's a 100 RBI guy. That's a cog in that lineup. I don't even know what they do. Who do they play at first base? Salvador?
Maybe and just make Fermin their
Fermin catch.
It's not terrible.
And then you call up a catcher to be a backup,
perhaps.
I mean, that's really the only thing you can do, isn't it? You could play Dozier there, I guess, but eh.
Well, they don't have Dozier. They have
Renfro. I get those.
They got a lot
I get Hunters confused all the time.
You do?
Yes.
Who are some other?
Hunter Dozier, Hunter Renfro.
There's Hunter Biden.
Hunter Hayden, Hunter Hayes. There was a Hunter woman on American Idol. Sometimes I think she plays first base.
She might.
You never know.
Okay.
You don't contribute much. We'll take a break.
Yes, I do.
We'll come back and talk K-State football from a while back, one of the all-time great Wildcats, Kevin Lockett, the Lockett family, the first family of wide receivers. Kevin Lockett joins us next.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, we're hoping to hear from Kevin Lockett. He's going into the Kansas State Hall of Fame. 49 years old now, which makes me feel old. One of the first Bill Snyder guys.
Yeah, one of the first.
He came along, you know.
In the mid-90s, closer to the end, I guess, but had a great career, and he was sort of one of those first guys when K-State was establishing
itself. When K-State really started to get good.
Right, as a national power as opposed to just a team that was good.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Okay.
Thank you. See, I do contribute sometimes.
I hope to hear from him. You know, I went through the proper channels and did my due diligence, and that's you like to be rewarded when you do things like that.
Who are the proper channels?
Well, we don't need to discuss that. I'm not going to get into all that.
Okay.
I just went through the proper channels.
In the meantime, I don't mean to bring up something horrible, but I'm sure you've seen the story about the Columbus Blue Jackets player. Just absolutely ridiculous.
A drunk driver ran over him. Was it also a friend of his?
His brother.
Yeah, it's just terrible news. Just hate hearing stuff like that.
Call don't, Uber. That
don't
is
drink and drive, people. We're
that's
past that.
We're well past that. It should never happen. It's absolutely stupid and can't believe it. And they were supposed to be groomsmen in their sister's wedding today.
Yeah, American society's evolved to the point now where if you don't want to call a cab, which nobody does anymore, you call an Uber, You get somebody to pick you up.
Call literally anybody.
You get somebody there to handle things, and everybody goes on about their life. But this could happen to anyone who drinks and drives, and it has happened, and it's terrible. But anyway, thanks for bringing me down.
I didn't mean to bring you down, but the message does need to be out there. Just make a phone call. Maybe even, I mean, I don't know. You're driving completely irresponsibly, too, from all indications, trying to pass a guy who had moved over because the bikers were on the road.
Well, that's, yeah. So I'm looking at the ESPN baseball people grading the trade deadline 1 month later.
It's been bad.
Two contenders that crushed it, the Royals, which they did.
I guess.
Come on, man.
They were marginal moves.
They brought in a guy to lead their bullpen. They brought in a guy to shore up their starting pitching. And they brought in a guy who has been a big boon to their offense. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you want.
I don't know. I want guys who I feel comfortable that will contribute in the postseason.
Lucas Urseg will
do that. I don't know about
Lorenzen, if healthy, will. And Paul DeJong will.
I don't even know if Lorenzen would be in their rotation in the postseason.
That's okay. What if he's in their bullpen?
Then we'll light him up.
You don't light anybody up.
No, we've lit
you guys are
up
terrible.
Before. No, we got reinforcements coming.
The Dodgers get a crushing at grade with Jack Flaherty coming over. He's pitching like an ace now, which I wish he'd done when we had him. And then Michael Kopech, who's also been very good, and didn't mention Tommy Edman, but Tommy Edman's a pretty good player.
When's he due back? Is he already back?
The teams that helped themselves, the Padres, they really improved their bullpen, and they got a starter in Martin Perez, who has a very good ERA with the Padres. The Yankees, with Jazz Chisholm, Mark Leiter Jr., the Diamondbacks, A.J. Puck, Dylan Floro, and the Phillies went out and helped their bullpen. Some. Not have a good deadline. The Orioles, Red Sox, Braves. Contenders that didn't really help themselves, but it hasn't mattered. The Astros and Twins. And three contenders that have slipped. The Mets, Cardinals, Rangers. Four contenders that had bad deadlines.
Who could it be?
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Seattle, and Milwaukee.
I don't even care.
Oh, you care.
That they brought in Lane Thomas and he sucked. I don't even care that they brought in Alex Cobb and he's made two starts and is now back on the injured list. I care that they gave up Jose Tena, who was so clearly a big leaguer and so clearly a guy that could help you. And, you know, we'll just trade him. We'll trade a couple, two other high-ceiling prospects and then, you know, see what we can do. And Jose, and they misevaluated again. That should be Chris Antonetti's middle name. Chris misevaluate Antonetti. That's almost.
Well, hey, listen, I get it. I thought the Cardinals had a pretty good deadline, but
they did.
Two of the guys they brought in are gone. They DFA'd them.
Yeah, I understand, but those were pretty low risk moves for
Eric Fetty. Will be there next year. He'll be in the rotation. He'll be a 4 or 5 starter. I hope. I hope he's not a 2 or 3, but he could be. I mean, the way they're going.
He had a really good start of the season with the White Sox.
And he's pitched okay. He's pitching tonight against the Yankees. We'll see how he does.
We'll see how he does. Could go poorly for him.
But the Royals did have a very good deadline. They had a very good offseason. You don't go from 56 wins to where they are by fumbling around.
I get it.
They deserve your respect. That's what I'm trying
they
to
have
get.
Some.
That's what I'm trying
they have
to get
as much
you.
Respect as I'm going to give it. Another team in my division. Twins have some because of their affiliation with the Wind Surge. And
you know some Twins people, do you?
Not really.
They don't come up to the press box? when their farm director's in town.
You know who's been up? They don't come into the press area very often, but you know who's been up recently?
Who?
Sal Butera has been
really?
Up. Really? Yeah.
Former big league catcher.
I think he's with the Twins because he played there.
He's played everywhere.
We had the former Cubs manager, whatever his name was.
Well, I don't know. Who is it?
Oh, I can't remember his name now. The guy who was barely there.
Well, I don't know. I think I know who you're talking about. Renteria?
Quadi. Mike Quadi.
Oh, yeah. He was barely there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have obviously Mitch Webster comes through every now and then.
Does Mitch talk to you?
I've talked to Mitch.
Does he know you're my son?
I don't know.
Well, tell him.
I'll just tell people that.
He'll be much happier with you.
Well, you know, we talked about his time with Cleveland and...
But he doesn't even... Does he know your last name?
I doubt it. I don't know.
Tell him. Hey, Mitch, you know my dad. You guys talked during the whole statue thing. He might buy you a hot dog.
It's been a while since I've seen Mitch. He hasn't been up as much.
Well, he's a scout for the Royals.
Yeah, he's an area scout. Goes around to a lot of different places.
Well, next time you see him,
I'll say hi.
No!
Mitch and I have had great conversations.
Yeah, but they'll be so much better if you just drop a name.
I don't do that. Not a name dropper guy. Hey, Mitch, yours.
I'm Jeff Lutz. You related to Bob?
Nope.
Really? That's what your answer is.
Unbelievable coincidence, Mitch, that here's two guys you know involved in baseball with the same last name. Not related.
That's a terrible answer to give.
Who's this Lutz guy you speak of?
I'm going to get Mitch on the show someday.
You should.
I knew him some. Before the statue, the Jackie Robinson statue was taken. But he's one of the first people who reached out. He's been instrumental in getting the Royals interested in us. And I'm really thankful for Mitch.
He's a good guy.
From Larned, Kansas.
That's right.
Big leaguer for quite some time, including stints with the Montreal Expos. Think about that. That guy's put on a Montreal uniform.
Pretty good.
What do you mean pretty good? That's awesome.
It is?
Do you ever get excited about
every
anything?
Expo I'm just supposed to celebrate?
Yes.
They were a big league team for 40 years.
They may have had the best uniform in baseball history.
Which one? The blue ones?
Any of them. Their logo was fantastic. Their hat was fantastic. Everything about the Montreal Expos was magical, except they didn't win much. They had great when the Wichita Arrows were a Expos farm team, the Arrows wore those uniforms with the W instead of the M.
Yeah.
And they had the multicolored hat.
That was a good look.
It was fantastic. I don't know why you don't get excited about it.
Do you think minor league teams should more closely align themselves as far as uniforms? Go.
Not anymore. The minor leagues have complete autonomy in this.
How many Cardinals
for the most part
are in? Is it just two?
Springfield looks like the Cardinals. Memphis,
right? But they are the Cardinals,
right?
Is there
and
another
Palm
Cardinals?
Beach is the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Peoria doesn't look like the Cardinals, and Memphis.
They're the Redbirds.
They have some resemblance, but the Cardinals used to own. Well, I think they still own Memphis. I don't think they own Springfield anymore.
I don't know. Doesn't John Q. Hammonds own everything in Springfield?
No, he doesn't own Springfield. We're joined on the IHOP hotline by Dylan Schmidt. He is the longtime and very successful football coach at Andale High School. Dylan, welcome. How are you today?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, Bob. Appreciate it.
So we don't start any conversation with you asking if you're going to be good. We ask how good are you going to be. What's it look like in terms of returning players, depth, everything that Andale has specialized in? I presume you have very high hopes.
Yeah, I think and hope much of the same. 94 kids. It's the most we've had out in my time. And the school is really not growing. We're about 100 a class. So about half the boys out for football. 16 seniors. That's a little small for us, but a really good group. We're excited about. Got a big junior class. So upperclassmen-wise, we're really excited about those guys. And you know, I'll call it six or seven starters on both sides of the ball. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, they might have started one game but not started another, you know, throughout the year last year based on injury. And so bring back some experience, too. Probably the strength is in the skill position. Sam Harp comes back at quarterback. He'll be a junior. His brother, Landon Harp, back at running back. Cooper Marks back at fullback. So skill-wise, we bring back a lot of guys that are really talented guys and have some experience. And then up front, you know, that'll kind of be the question mark a little bit, bring a few big guys back offensively there. But in general, I'm excited about where we're at.
So if you've got about 200 boys and 100 of them or so play football, and my daughter went to Andale. I know there are boys in theater and choir and in the things that she did and maybe even in other sports. Is that pretty much how the other 100 are accounted for? Are there kids in Andale who are not participating much in anything, or is pretty much everyone doing so?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I think in general, kids are in things, and it's because parents want them to be involved. And as you know, kids that are involved do better in school, and they feel more engaged and part of the community or part of the school, wherever you want to say. And that's what makes it fun is that, you know, when you get kids involved and get to know them on a different level, I just think it's a better school. It's, you know, better for them, better for us. And I don't know that we have a ton of kids that don't do things. I mean, they're out here and they're involved. And so, you know, that's a good thing, obviously, for everybody.
Dylan Schmidt, our guest, Andale's football coach. So you were involved in two games last year. I hate to bring this up, Dylan. I feel like don't bite my head off. You were involved in two games last year that, in my mind, go down as historic games. Cheney able to come back and beat you guys in both of them. We take nothing away from Cheney. They had an incredible year, the kind of stuff movies are made of. But how do you and your players use that experience from last year moving forward?
Yeah, number one, I hope we can. You know, when we got beat the first time, we were up 22-0 on them, and they scored right before half. Kind of double-dip us there where they turn around, and then they get the ball coming out of the second half and score again. And we end up going over to overtime, as you know, and get beat. And I told myself that would never happen again. There's no way we get up 22-0 and get beat. Just with what we do offensively and how good we've played defense over the years, when we turn around the second game, we get up 24-0 on them and get beat. And it was deja vu. They scored right before half. But they go for one, and I thought that was a huge mistake at the time because now it's a three-score game. And in the end, our first possession, we're marching the ball. We score, it's game over. It's late in the third, and we fumble it. One of the biggest things we emphasize in our program is, you know, is the turnover margin and, you know, show them all the stats from the NFL typically of, you know, if you're plus one, plus two, how many games you win. And, you know, that's what our offense is predicated on is kind of ball control, take care of the football. And defensively, we're all about taking it away and all those things. And so it's just easy to speak to those things because obviously the kids in the program now, they can relate to that. It's no different than mom and dad, right, or whatever you want to use is, you know, hey, I don't think it's a good idea for Johnny to be out till 3 a.m. Well, you know, 16-, 17-year-old kid is thinking whatever, mom and dad. But when you have concrete examples of that from a football perspective and you can show that to those kids and they were a part of it, I think it sets in more. Our kids are as hungry as they've ever been. I've been as excited as I've ever been. I think it's one of our best summers we've ever had attendance-wise. From our senior class, we had two guys of those 16 I mentioned that were at 97%. The other 14 were at 100% attendance. Now, I do honor it if they go to a football camp or something like that. I'll count that for attendance if they communicate it with me. But, I mean, it was phenomenal. And I use that class as an example, you know, for the first 2 weeks of practice, we didn't have a single kid late, or miss or anything. And so I think the message has been heard by them and I've been nothing but impressed with that group. And like I said, I'm as excited as I've ever been.
Do you have to put yourself sort of in an underdog position at all going into this year? I know Cheney got you last year, but until someone or Cheney or whoever does what you have done over the last 5-10 years, I would say they're not Andale. So do you operate that way, or do you operate as though you're still the team to be at the top of the class?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. Obviously, I like the underdog perspective. I think in general, maybe teams feel hungrier, or kids feel hungrier, or coaches or whatever. Of, hey, you like how things go. People don't think, you know, you're what you are, and on and on and on. And so, yeah, I'm gonna poke the bear a little bit and needle those guys as much as I can to get what I want. I think that's what coaching is all about. And, but at the same time, I hope our kids have confidence and understand, hey, look at all the things you've done. I went and looked at this today because I had a guy send this to me, and he said 50-plus home game win streak. And I thought, well, it's got to be more than 50. Well, our last loss was on August 31st of 2012 against Collegiate. It's been 73 games in a row going back to 2012 since we've lost at home. I don't know if that's a state record or not. And to be honest, I'd never looked at it, never even looked at it. But in my time, we've never lost a game at home. We've won 45 in a row. And so this goes back to when Gary O'Hare was head football coach. So standing here today, we've won 73 games in a row at home since 2012. And so, I mean, those are things I'm going to share with the group. And you might say, well, geez, that creates some pressure. I don't care. I want kids to feel pressure. I want them to feel like, you know, let's crank it up. And that's what sports is all about and life's all about. So, you know, that's a neat deal that I just bring up as kind of an example of what you're talking about, is that, you know, it's a little bit of both. Hey, look at all the great things you've done, but at the same time, you know, you got beat. You know, people don't think you are what you are, and so we'll find out if that all works.
Dylan Schmidt is our guest. Andale opens next Friday night at home against El Dorado. Tell us about your schedule, and tell us about what you know of this part of the state in Class 3A. What does it look like?
Yeah, a little bit of ebb and flow. You know, we start our first three games with 4A schools because of our league. And so we'll start with El Dorado, and then we go Wellington. And I think Wellington's got a really good group, or, you know, it's hard to know now. And then we'll get into Rose Hill on game three. And then we get into district play. And to start off district play, we have Collegiate. They might be the most talented team we play all year. I know our junior class, which is really good, has had a lot of battles, or had a lot of battles, like in the 7th and 8th grade with Collegiate. I mean, they're loaded. Maybe as talented as I've seen since I've been here, and I know they have high hopes there. And they've kind of been our rival, if you will. And then getting to some other teams that, you know, we've played that have traditionally not been as good, but you never know. And then the big change for us is this year with the playoff format is they're going by record in 3A. So if we're 8-0 and another team's 7-1, then we will host at home. And so we could have game 9, 10, 11, and 12 all at home based on record or based on points. And so which would be a good deal for us. But bottom line is that, you know, there's some teams in there that, you know, for lack of a better term, have traditionally not been very good. But there's definitely some Wellingtons and some Collegiates and teams like that if we don't play well, they'll beat us.
Do you think your defense overall gets the credit it deserves? Because obviously we see every week you're putting up scores in the 50s, 60s, 70s occasionally, but those are all usually 50-6 or 50-0, and maybe the defense, because you score so much, gets a little bit overlooked. So do you think it gets the credit it deserves? Who are some of the people on that defense that you rely on? And I guess that's the question.
Yeah. Well, I hope it does. Number one, Tim Fairchild, whose son is Mason, who's been with the Saints and then back and forth there and played at KU. And Tim's done an absolutely unbelievable job for us. And I'm just tickled that he continues to do it. You know, he's upper 50s and really not a vested interest in terms of, you know, his voice playing or anything like that. But he's just loved it. And he's kind of been the brains behind all the operation. He's been at Andale for, oh, I don't know how many years, you know, 29, 30 years at Andale. But anyhow, so he's kind of the mastermind behind all of it. But, you know, It's a good question. I hope they do, you know, just because, you know, a lot of our guys are both way, you know, two-way players. But I think the thing that would be interesting about us is we've used a lot of undersized guys up front with as much as everybody throws the ball. You know, you'll see a guy playing wide receiver for us that's going to play defensive line. I mean, Kel Andre is the perfect example of that. You know, and, you know, all the guys I kind of mentioned before, you know, the Hart boys and Bo Kaiser, you know, has got some press early in the year and well-deserved. You know, inside, you know, Cooper Marks, who's Riley Marks' younger brother. I mean, we got some guys that are absolute studs. I think our defense has a chance to be as good as it's ever been. Three of the guys that ran on our school record 4x1 last year that broke the school record, they're playing defense for us. And so I think team speed-wise, I mean, it's probably as good as we've ever had. And that's what gets me real excited. Size-wise, maybe not as big. And, you know, different teams create matchup problems depending on what they're doing. But in general, I hope our defense gets a ton of credit, and they should. And you're exactly right. There was a year in the playoffs there, from the playoffs through the state championship game, where not a single point was scored on our defense. It's a state record. It's never been done in state history. And that was 2 or 3 years ago. And so maybe we can replicate that again this year.
As you're talking, I just imagine so many other coaches listening going, damn that guy. But it is what it is. You've built an amazing program, and we appreciate you coming on the show today. And again, Andale opens at home next Friday against El Dorado. Dylan Schmidt, our guest. Thank you, Dylan.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on and all the coverage over the years.
Thank you. Dylan Schmidt from Andale. We'll be back. Kevin Lockett will join us after this.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.